All right. Nice to be here. Let me give you a little history of Reformation Baja. Is kind of the last probably 10 years we started to do this name. I have the thing here too, but and I'll explain that. So Escondido, I started going to Mexico and Tijuana in the 60s. My dad would take us down there. I had an uncle who was a Christian Reformed missionary there, and then we had quite a few missionaries out of the Christian Reformed churches into Tijuana trying to start the Presbyterian churches down there. And so we would go down and just help out, because even back then it was really poor, still is very poor. So my ministry started, I'm a construction worker, I'm not a computer person, can't do that at all. I started in construction as a bricklayer, and then in my spiritual journey, just accepting Christ at an Arminian camp kind of really inspired me to get involved with my own church. I've been in the Escondido Church since I was three, so 68 years have been there by God's grace. Haven't screwed it up yet. And so I went into youth ministry as a volunteer, and then I would take all of my kids to Mexico once a year. So we always had this program going to Mexico. Eventually, there's a family, the Marcus family. So Abe Marcus was a missionary to Mexico City, had nine kids, I think. He came back to Tijuana and then settled in our church with his kids, most of his kids. And the Marcus family is very big, because so I was doing all this stuff kind of on my own, going down to Tijuana, helping with what churches, Reformed churches, I could find, and then connecting with wherever I could. But really, originally trying to get our kids to see the poverty that was right south and still is. So I still do high school trips, college trips down there. So it's been since the 70s pretty much doing trips down there. So developed into Escondido of, okay, we got youth ministry. I was in the volunteer for about 40 years, and then I went to young adults. So in that 40 years, we did everything. We were basically up north in Tijuana, and then started working south into this area here, which is called Vicente Guerrero San Quintin. Then we started working with YWAM, building houses. So we were this conservative church with very Arminian. So we worked together in that. We would take our pastors down with us. We had a good relationship, but we just felt that wasn't where we wanted to be. So then we went to helping with an orphanage right up here, right below Ensenada. Helped develop that. We got Reformed Mission Services, if you're familiar with them, they have been down there helping with it. They still go down there to the orphanage and then work out into the Reformed churches out of the mission building we built at the orphanage. So did that, and then we started feeling like, okay, where are we going to go next? We started finding all these National Presbyterian churches that started in Tijuana. So there was at least 20 to 30 Reformed churches in Tijuana, and some are conservative and some have gone liberal. So we always keep this in mind as we kind of work with the churches. The National Presbyterian Church on a national scale in Mexico has stayed conservative, but there's pockets that have gone liberal in them. So they're trying to pull that back right now, but we are now mostly working with the National Presbyterian Church and then the Reformed Presbyterian Church of Mexico, which is a lot smaller. The National has, I think, over 6,000 churches in Mexico. All Presbyterian started, you know, down in the Yucatan, I think. So they've been very successful, but it's always a challenge. We know that, trying to keep it, you know, solidly Reformed. So I am still a volunteer, but I'm also an elder in my church now, and I'm taking care of the young adults. So that's kind of my journey. I was an elder 10 years ago, and then stayed in the young adults, and then I'm back now with the young adults in my church. So that's kind of the history. The Abe Marcus family Abe was in our church. Abe passed away a year ago at 99. So just an incredible man, had a heart for Mexico. So his son, Ken and I have been the ones that, I can't speak Spanish. I know every food group in Spanish, but I cannot speak Spanish. I've always had interpreters with me, and if you're close to the border, they're all bilingual, pretty much. But our heart had kind of gone to the Oaxacans and the Chiapas. They are the laborers down there. So they are the poor of the poor. They're still, you go even into Tijuana, and they don't have running water. They don't have sanitary facilities. It's a real rich, poor society still, even though Baja has become, and especially since I'm there, way more middle class in the last, because there's a lot of agriculture. So the agriculture up in this valley, especially in the San Quintin Valley, is just huge. They have just grown like crazy. So that draws in all of the native Indian Mexicans, which is the Oaxacans and the Chiapas. They're really poor, and they're really transient. So we ended up focusing to help them on the poor side, and then helping, there's a lot of the churches are also all Oaxacan or all Chiapan or whatever. So even in Cabo San Lucas, you have all the, the hotels, and you got all this rich stuff. We can probably go to a couple. This is a church here, and I'll go back to, just bear with me as I kind of go back and forth, but this one, this pastor is from the Reformed Presbyterian. They're smaller. They are in this area right here. So we had been working with them. This is where we built the YWAM houses and prayed that we could get a Reformed witness in there. And within 5 years, God put a church right there. And so we work with that church. And then what we do is we'll go down and we'll help them with outreaches. So Escondido, you can go a little further. These are some of the locals there. You'll see them more Indian. So this is my youth group just down there. And we do carnival games. We bring them shoeboxes with presents. And then you can go again. This is really important to our church. So as I've been doing this, the youth group still does all the shoeboxes. We take 150 shoeboxes down. We help them with outreaches, and we get all the kids in. So that's just assisting them as a church. And our ladies in the church make these blankets all year long. So at Escondido, I think it's Thursdays, it's just 15 ladies with sewing machines. They make blankets, they make sewing kits, they all kinds of things. And then, when you go to Mexico, and then it's just, so I always have to take pictures of the blankets for the ladies in the church. So down there, there was one, I took a deacon down there, we were down there, and this was 2 years ago, we gave them out, and then the lady goes, "Can I get another one?" And he goes, "Why?" And she said, "I have this big of a gap in my house, and it gets really cold." So, Mexico is still really poor. There are just amazing areas. But the Reformed has just grown like crazy. So the Marcuses, Ken and I have worked together. So everything is still just out of Escondido with our deacons. And we call it Mexico Missions and Mercy. When the Marcuses, we've always run about a budget of $30,000 a year and spent it, on churches helping them. When Abe Marcus passed away, he's a missionary, and he gave the church, our budget right now, I'm sitting at $182,000, because he gave it to the church for me to spend in Mexico. So quite an amazing family, but we're still working together. You can keep going on a few. This is a pastor, Victor. That's Ken Marcus. And on this side with the nose sticking out the feathers is Rick Marcus. So we work together, still work together. And so we work in Cabo. Ken usually sets everything up. The problem with Ken is he moved because his daughter moved to Phoenix. So he's in the Phoenix URC church now. So we still work together, but he's a little further away. So communication isn't as good. This is Victor. This is an interesting one. This is a pastor. This is a plant, church plant. It's the southern one in San Quintin. And that's a pastor bringing his generator so he can preach. So, Dan, you think you got a bad dude? You know, it just really struck me, you know, as I watched this guy pull this thing to do his ministry. They are actually asking at this church in June, we might be expanding sideways in this church because they need more room. So we'll see how that goes. But that's kind of where we're working with. They're just growing. And so you can go again. This is a church in Cabo San Lucas. So Cabo San Lucas came up right when COVID hit. And the Marcuses, I don't know if you know C.J. Dendulk. He has been on the board at Westminster, but he's in the Christian Reformed Church, but he married a Marcus. And so we team up with their, it's called Sparta CRC, very conservative. And then he got us into these churches because they were growing. So this one has been there about 12 years, and we are helping them, and we go there in January, and we take a group from Sparta, and then we take a group from, I think it's Oak Glen, URC in Indiana. And so they got involved through Ed Marcuse, Pastor Ed Marcuse. So we go in January, the Saturday after Martin Luther King birthday, and have done that since COVID. We are trying to help them down in the bottom here, if you can see this. So these are the Reformed churches down here that are pretty well established. This is one we're working on. This is one in La Paz. This one we got, we found a grant for this one and got a pastor in there and his wife, and it lasted about 2 years, and then it just fell apart, unfortunately. So the goal is, as we work with the National Presbyterian Church, is to get their presbytery down here so that they have to travel by bus for 24 hours, you know, to get to the presbytery meetings. So with the Marcuses and all of that, they got us down here, and now that is starting to expand. You can go again. Thank you. So this is a group of us in January. The guy with the back has a condo in Cabo San Jose, but he goes to the Cloverdale URC. So then he joins us whenever we're down there. So, and this is all groups out of Indiana. And the lady on the side has started four of these churches by starting Bible studies and then programs with children and women, and then passing them off to the church. She started four of the churches down there. Just amazing. Her name is Yasmin. Yeah, I can go again. Thank you. This one, we went down at COVID. There was nothing here. And this is Pastor Bonnie and his wife. Some of the struggles down there is, you know, they're really poor community, so he has to do Uber driving most of the week in order to survive. And then he's got his second kid, I think, on the way. And yeah, it's really challenging, but we just kind of assist him. And this church actually had 10 guys in that church that were in the hotel business of concrete hotel. So they have been building. You can go again. Thank you. This is just in between, but this is in Santa Anita, the lady living in this bus. So we're helping her, fixing her outhouse. And then the ladies love nothing more than to cook for us. So they are still more the Indian style of Chiapas and the Oaxacans. And so these are fish tacos, which are incredibly good. But anyway, this is our group helping with the one that we're trying to get a pastor in here right now. That's one of my elders in Escondido. That's Rick Marcus, and then my brother-in-law. This is in Cabo San Lucas, right across from the road, the toll road from all the hotels. It's just a real interesting of just how poor it is. And then the church that we're working with is right up the hill over this way by the airport. But this is very common. But you have to get out of Cabo San Lucas to see it, you know. I put this up there because this is our pastor. He did this thing on, you know, human sexuality, a catechism. So we translated it into Spanish. And so we will, you know, hand those out down there. We're trying to get, and I want this up, Bill Green has been just amazing with all of his translations. He's got, so what we do with Word and Deed, I'll call Word and Deed and I'll say, okay, I need a starter kit. And they'll send me like this box of books that are like a starter book of R.C. Sproul and all these guys in Spanish. And then we'll get it to the church that we're dealing with. So we see the biggest need in all of these areas is education. They don't really, even if they're in the Reformed Church, they still struggle with what does that mean and how do we get that Reformed theology to them. So a lot of the Reformation Baha is going to go into, it's going to go into how do we build Bible college. So I have Brad Bittner at Westminster, one of the professors, and he's in our church. We're working together to start Zoom seminaries and Bible colleges in this area, in San Quintin, and then Cabo San Lucas. So that's our right now where we're at and what we're trying to pursue. This is David Diazzo. He's with MTW, with PCA. He is... He kind of works fingers everywhere, but, you know, and then a pastor and his wife and daughter are at the inn. This is Rick and Ken again, and we help them build a church on this end of Mexicali. And we can go again. So this would be our typical, this is in San Quintin at the north of the valley. I will go down in June. I will stay at the orphanage because it's a lot cheaper than finding a hotel. We poured it in the first day, and then you can go. We framed it the next day, built the trusses. That's Pastor Victor, and then we built the house in 4 days. So we call these starter churches, and this is just the group. And, you know, I took like 5 or 6 of my young adults and high school kids down with me. And so, again, so this is the third mission church we've helped with in the San Quintin Valley. All right. There's a go. So this is in Mexicali, I believe. Yeah. So we, a group out of Colorado built the church for them, and then we worked on the pastor's house next door. So we helped get that done. This was the dedication of the church. This is just kind of a side deal, but this is a women's shelter in Vicente Guerrero, San Quintin. And it's again, we were talking to the lady 2 years ago. We went there and we had lunch there because they teach the ladies how to cook, but they pull these ladies out of just abuse and all of this. She was telling the story of it still goes on, and they just pulled a lady in. They don't sell their kids, but they traded their daughter for a goat. And you're just like, how can this be going on, you know? And, you know, so we just kind of help them, but it's not associated to any denomination. This is down in San Quintin, the main church. Again, we just do the outreaches, help them out. Go ahead. This is just all the kids in. They're very excited to get, I mean, for them to get a box with toys in it and Bibles, and, you know, they're very excited. This is in Santa Anita. This is when I told you the lady that she starts these with these lady groups. So the pastor, O'Donnell, is from a church about 5 miles away, and then he does the preaching and the communion, and then they just start Bible studies. And like I say, 4 churches, it's just amazing to me. So, ladies cooking again. They love to cook. So, this is the church where O'Donnell is, and we're building Sunday school classes for them. So, we have the first level done. This is just in the process. Again, this is Mark Dirksen. He's from our church, one of our elders. The bald guy in the end is my son-in-law's father. He goes to a non-denominational church, but he goes everywhere with me. The guy right in the front with the bald head is Ed Marcusi. He just retired out of Indiana, out of the URC. and his wife there. So anyway, just the grouping. Pouring. We say we're not going to do it all for them, but we're going to assist them. And so we try to be really careful. We don't build it all, but we'll leave money for them to hire, because we can't get everything done in a week when you do block work especially. So they do most of it out of block. We built these trusses with the Sparta group out of Michigan. This was our group there. One of the goals I have, the guy right in the middle in the red is in the Sparta group. So everybody says to me, what are you going to do when you die? And I go, okay, you're right. So he's about 35 years old, and he's going to take over all the missions in Sparta. And my son is taking over for me. If I die, he's taking it over. Got a real heart for it. Again, just so we built the starter church, and then we came back and built the pastor a house. So this was 2 years ago. Came in, poured the slab, and then that's their church building. And it's what they want to do is get into the colonias before they get built out. And they're really fighting the Assemblies of God, you know, that type of, because they're in there right away also. So it's, you know, it's a challenge, but God can provide. So these are all from that church and some of my kids in there. Framing. And then they always feed us. They love to feed us. So not every kid likes fried fish. It doesn't go over well with high school kids always, but they're pretty gracious. Pastor Victor, the starter church, the pastor church. This guy was a pastor that came out of Chiapas. He's probably going to be in that church, but the cartel kind of pushed him out, threatened him, and so he had to move. And so Mexico's, you know, a challenge in that way. So this is very unique. So I'm down there with these guys, and we get a call from the RCUS. They're at Synod in Escondido, and they get a call from this guy. And he goes, hey, you got to go visit this guy. And I go, okay, I guess I'll try to get there before I go home. So I came back up. We get here. This is this is Octavio. So Octavio in Vicente Guerrero has a radio program, and he became Reformed about 20 years ago but stayed independent. Then he joined, I think, the Mexican Methodist church, and then went out of that because they weren't Reformed. He has a radio program for the Valley, and he just puts out Reformed stuff in the Valley, and all these workers hear it on their radio. So we helped him get a new transmitter. You can go again. So he says, look, I want an American church. We'll give you the property. And we just need to, we just want to have a new church building because they're meeting in the big Quonset hut and it's kind of old. So, and then they have a house in the back. So we're just like, are you kidding me, Lord? You know, after the prayer of how do we start Bible colleges and all this stuff. So they offered it to us. Where we are. So we started Reformation Baja a year and a half ago. And so we went down the process of starting Reformation Baja in Tijuana. It took it's been a year and a half, and we set it up to where we can own property. You know, we can, do everything. They said, put everything in there you can, because, you know, you don't want to be limited, and you don't want the government on you. So we are about this close to getting our number. It's like, we have the approvals. We had to have a telephone bill that shows that we have an address in Tijuana. And so it's that close. So we are actually working with Jared. So our attorney that we had, Juan Padilla, is working with Oscar, I think, who is your attorney. Caesar. What's that?
Caesar,
thank you. And then trying to help with your lease to help with that. So that's in the process. The bad thing was, on Friday, one got hit on his motorcycle, and so he's in the hospital with broken ribs. So just pray for Juan. He's fine, but he'll have a recovery going. Anyway, so if you pray for things, God is going to provide. That's all I'm saying. So we are in the process through Reformation Baja of picking up this property. So we were going to go and start so that it ends at the fence and the green is not the building. So we were going to put the church where that tree is and we were going to start it this summer. In the process, this got abandoned. It was a beauty college and all structured. So we pulled back and said, let's not build the building yet, and we are going to get the property secured and then offer on the building next door. That would make the most sense. But the problem is we want to wait because it's the son of the guy over here that we're trying, before he dies, we got to get the property in our name, so we're just praying, Lord, he doesn't die until we get it done. Because it complicates everything. His son owns the property next door and wants this piece of land. So we're just kind of waiting, see? But that's the process. So in the meantime, we may have that as our seminary Bible college place. So we're praying for that. So that would secure us up in San Quintin, and then we want to do the same thing down in Cabo San Lucas. So in all of this, you can go again. I'll show you another. They love these things. The gem girls made these little dolls, and these kids just loved them. So our gem girls were just so excited when I showed them the picture of these little dolls that they made. You can go again. And then, yeah, just, you know, more. So this was this is where all these guys were working the hotel industry. They built this thing. And they're just slowly building it, and then we hope to put the pastor's house up on top. So that's one of our next projects is on this. It's a real problem with, you know, just the finances and all that down there for them to survive. So if we as the rich up here don't help, it's pretty difficult. So that's where you can help. This is the inside, so, of that building. So they're growing, and they were, when did COVID start? 5 years ago? There was nothing. It was cactus, you know. So we see a lot of really good movement down there. We just want to help them get their theology stabilized as one of our goals. So, yep, go ahead. This is still, that's Ed Marcusey preaching and Ken translating. And that's we're trying to get a pastor in here out of the National Presbyterian Church. That's our ladies. They love to cook for us. This is a lady in the URC. That lady, she's Lane Block. I mean, she is incredible. She grew up in a roofing family in Indiana. And that lady, I mean, she, the first time I there, we were doing the bottom of this, and we were doing the septic pit. And I go, yeah, here you go. Get down in there. She is just incredible. And they are with us every year. And then on the other side is Rob Brinks from Reformed Mission Services. So they are very involved in all of this, even the stuff north and south. So this is now completed. And go ahead. That's Rob. This is Cabo on the other end. So this is, I took a group last year. These are my young adults. I think I had 6 boys. It was awesome. Just fixing up that church building, and we're trying to set that up so we can take groups in and have showers, and so we would not have to rent the hotel rooms. We rent hotel rooms because they have security, and then we can assure the parents that we've done everything we can do, you know, because it's still Mexico. So, and so we will go in. In June, we're going to remodel these bathrooms. They're really poor. And there's no running water. You take a bucket and you take it from the bucket and throw it in. So we're going to help them with that. It's my boys. That's the church down there. And they are like, okay, you can help us. Thank you, Lord. Boys, so again, the problem is, so Octavio, there's not enough money to support these pastors. So he does electronics, so he fixes TVs. And so that's how he survives. So he put a store up on top. And that's Octavio, and this is up in the hills. This was in December. My son, one of my deacons who is Hispanic, he came with us, and then my grandson. So go back one more. My grandson's way in the corner. They always way in the corner in the orange. This again, I have to take pictures so all my ladies can see what, you know, handing them out. So this, go back one, this was where I showed you the lady was building. We've got that whole top done, the door is on, the roof is on, and they poured concrete on the top because of hurricanes. If you put wood, it's going to be gone. So Cabo's a lot different that way. So, and this was just a couple weeks ago. That's that mission church and teaching kids guitar. That was the door to the church building. So there's all kinds of groups that come in and help bit by bit. All right, questions? We've done our own thing, you know, and then we just connect where we can, but it's always been focused on getting our young adults and young people down there. So now we're starting to broaden out. Now it's like, right now it's just, okay, this is going to go crazy. I've got Jared. I've got your church wanting to do a, you know, more churches down there. That's awesome. You know, that's what we want. So there's a lot of organizations that help down there, but yeah, I'm open to finding out who they are and help, you know, whatever we can help with. So we're not tied to, except Escondido in a sense, you know. Yeah. The guy in front, right here. Yeah.
Thank you for all your work. You had mentioned just at the very end there that the pastor, the congregation not able to support the pastor himself. What percentage of pastors need to spin up like these side jobs to support?
Pretty much, I mean, most of the ones down south, especially, they all do. There may be one or two, maybe I would say you're maybe 10% don't have to do it, but almost all of them are out finding other jobs. So the one guy, so most of their support will come through, it still comes from the United States, but it all depends, you know. And then the presbytery decides. So the presbytery feeds out. So Baja Presbyterian Missions, you know, sends money for all these pastors that we're involved in. So that helps supplement it to keep them up, but it's not enough money to keep them, you know. And then there's burnout, and then there's, you know, because there's just not enough. And then if there's any medical issues, it really causes problems. So there's a lot of pressures against it, but a lot of these guys are pretty dead. Did that help?
Totally. Do you see, like, church plants just kind of, like, long-term requiring financial support from the churches and the city?
We will need to. I'll almost guarantee you. It all depends on kind of where you're at. If you're in a, you know, a prosperous area, I guess it can happen, but the majority of them need help from the States. I always say we are the rich. We need to be helping down there. It's still very poor down there. And so the same thing, even your question probably goes to, if we start expanding URC churches down there, we're gonna have to plan to support them.
Long-term.
Yeah, long-term. It's not short-term. Like, again, I would say where it's at. I can't, it'd be great if they could, you know what I'm saying? But I don't see that real quick.
It's a change in our thought process and how we support those churches.
Yeah. I think we should all be sponsoring a church, you know, down there, you know? We have all the money. Sorry, we do, you know? And so we are a broad church, you know? So anyway, that's my feeling on it. So,
you had mentioned National Presbyterian Church as one of the local denominations. What were the other organizations?
It was the Reform Church of Mexico, I believe. I'll try to get it right. Okay, again, they are real small and mostly came out of Tijuana. I spent a lot of years with Dave Crum. I don't know if you know Dave Crum in the OPC. So he was a missionary in Tijuana, raised all his kids. So, but he retired And then because they all have elders and deacons and presbyteries down there. So
you mentioned there is another church in Mexicali. There is another church in Mexicali besides the one that you...
Okay, Mexicali is interesting because it was, the seminary was there, and it was called the Korean Seminary, and that's where we're getting a lot of the liberal thoughts coming out of, as far as we can tell, of women in office. So we have kind of pulled back from them a little bit, and we're watching real closely. So there's about four National Presbyterian churches in Mexicali. But then there's other churches that are, and Jared can tell you this because his family is very involved in who's conservative, who's not in Mexicali. So there's some denomination coming out of Colombia. But anyway, I don't know them all, but it's interesting. So you just got to, you know, my church, no, we're not going to, we kind of go like this with every one of them and help them, but then if we see something that we're not comfortable with, we just kind of, okay, hey, we're busy somewhere else. So the goal is to Brad Bittner's, especially if we can set up the seminaries. The RCUS has reformed seminary in Spanish online. I mean, there's all kinds of them. Westminster East has a Hispanic seminary online. So we'll just see where it goes. But we're going to work with Westminster right now and then try to see what we can set. So I say it's just going like this right now. Yeah?
Going back to supporting pastors there, do you have an idea of what an annual income would be?
Yeah. Okay, so I just got this, and I could look it up. But they are about, the low end is $1,000 a month, if I'm correct. No, yeah, 1,000 pesos a month. Got it. It's really low. And then the higher, yeah, it's 10,000 pesos is the low end. And it's 40, the guy in La Paz, he's been there forever, he's at 40,000 pesos. Yeah, that's the information I have. Yeah, the workers, maybe $12 to $20 a day, you know, it's just crazy. It's still a very, you know, rich, poor society. So what you're going into, and especially as a church, you got to kind of keep those things in mind because you're not going into, you know, California. So Mexicali's, the border towns are a little bit better because they all pass back and forth and make money in America and go back home, you know. So some of that's a little bit better. But once you start getting south in the Baja, you know, it's still just, you know, we go to a work camp and it's just, the sewage is just running right like that, you know. The poop is just going, okay. And they're washing out in, you know, there's no running water. They're all in barrels. Everything is. Unless you're in the big city, you know. So. All right. Well, thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I will worship with you. And then I'm running home because I have a birthday party for four grandkids. So appreciate it.